All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe, and it is good to be back. It's good to be back.
Hell yeah.
It's good to be back in the driver's seat. I don't care about these guys' experience. I just know that I enjoy the power trip.
You crave the power.
You've missed it.
I'm joined by my good friend Dace playing Busiek. You ready to crawl back into Busiek's skin, unzip it from the rear, and put your feet in first down like a big onesie?
I dream of it every night.
And pull it up, pull the skin up around your body.
You can really hear the, if I could do some Foley work, the...
Oh, God.
And that's when the viewership went down. But to bring it back up, let's go to Jean playing Benedict.
Hello.
Jean, what does it sound like when you put on another person's skin? Is it similar, different?
It's like putting on shoes for the house. Cozy little dinosaur sandals.
Do you have house shoes?
They're dinosaurs?
Interesting. Just to show you my house shoes. I bought them yesterday.
Holy shit.
I got a shoe. I'm an old man now. I have a house shoe.
He's an old
cold.
Man. He's got house shoes.
Now it's cold.
All right. And then, of course, Brad playing.
Hello. Hank. You know, you can look up a clip from Ren and Stimpy that's exactly what you described, Joe.
What?
Putting on another person's skin.
Why does
doesn't
that
surprise me?
Why does that not surprise me for Ren and Stimpy? Oh, awful. Guys, we're back. We're back to Impossible Landscapes.
Indeed, it's been a while.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it has been... Well, for us in real life... we do have realized we do not just exist inside this podcast, as much as we've joked about being an AI podcast.
Allegedly.
But also, that's what an AI podcast would say,
is
the problem, is would say that they're not an AI podcast. Mm-hmm.
And also that reality is getting more real every day.
Yeah, it's real right now.
But anyway.
But last time for us in real life, it has been... Jeez, like what is it? It's been like easily a month or 2 months since we've played Impossible Landscapes.
I would say 2 months because there was like a 2 week gap before we could finish Hellhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, Hellhole was good.
Yeah, it was.
And you know, and I think that Nathan over there had said that maybe Nathan wants to run a game for us as well. So we might have an opportunity to have someone else run us through something.
Awesome.
But enough of them. I think we can all agree
them.
we've had enough.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
We've had enough of RPG reanimate.
I wasn't gonna say anything, but I'm glad
that got John.
Such a dick thing to say.
No, we have loved our time with them, and I hope we get to do more stuff.
Absolutely.
But The original reason we were talking to them to begin with was that they had reached out and said, hey, you guys are at the end of Impossible Landscapes. We would love to do an episode on Impossible Landscapes. And maybe
we can talk about our experience
some way.
Or what do you mean?
Like we'll do a dissection.
To that at some point. Do a dissection, a reanimation of Impossible Landscapes.
Man.
But I'm just glad to be back.
I am too. I wonder how much, you know, I feel like if... You ask anyone who's done a D&D module, whatever you call their long format, nobody ever finishes it. Like, they get halfway through, I feel like, or, you know, and so I wonder if there's more people that have finished, you know, The King in Yellow, or what percentage of people just, like, quit for schedule reasons or whatever, you know,
because
it takes so long to get there.
That's always the big one, is the scheduling stuff. Yeah. And I can't remember. I feel like we talked about this ages ago, but it's like there's actually a period in time where I think a lot of people want to get into like tabletop RPGs, which is like in their early 20s. Like people get really interested in it. Not that teenagers don't get interested in it, they do as well. But there's a period of time where like when you're a teenager and you're going to school and you have your weekends off, like it's probably easier to do some gaming, right? But then in your early 20s, life starts happening. People start moving. people have kids, like they're switching jobs and stuff like that. It gets way harder. But then in your late 20s and in your 30s, things get a little more stable and a little more reliable, like in general, for most of the population.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it then it like gets to a point where it's like you have a little more stability to do stuff like that.
Tabletop relapse.
Tabletop relapse.
It's a good name for a podcast. Tabletop relapse.
Tabletop relapse. But yeah, like I'm very excited. Does anyone remember what the fuck was happening?
Yes. Sort of.
Excellent. I love the starts.
I remember the last conversation we had with this. I can't remember his name, but he was very odd, floaty man.
Hildred.
He reminded me sort of the fucking Cowboy Bebop. You remember that like bioweapon he fights? The guy that has the cane and he's just like can float.
Oh,
and like,
yeah. Oh god. Yeah. Wow. Deep cut. Holy shit.
That's what I was thinking while you were playing him.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well.
Okay. Are you talking about the thing that in the refrigerator?
No, I'm talking about like he fights this like super soldier.
He's like a big round
balloon.
Floaty dude.
He has like a top hat and he has the cane that shoots
and
out.
A really big creepy smile.
Yes.
That's what I was
thinking. There's a particular close-up on his giant smiling mouth in that episode that's really unnerving.
Stuck with you.
Man, I need to rewatch Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah, it's worth it.
Such a good show.
It's such a good one.
Okay, so that's what we remember. We remember.
Recap.
That's what we remember.
Guy. I think a solid recap is in order.
Well, listen, why don't we do a recap? So, guys.
I would love nothing more.
It has been a long time. It's been a long time, and assuming we don't have any schedule hiccups, we're likely to push to the end on this thing.
Excellent.
Which is a weird, bittersweet experience, for me at least. I know you guys are probably ready to be done with it.
Wait, are you saying, like, this session?
No, like, well, it could happen. I don't predict it. You guys don't typically do
a challenge. Like that.
Run for the exit sign.
Yeah,
but are you just talking about like in the near future?
In the near future, I think probably.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anymore.
Fair.
I'm not going to say anymore.
Fine.
But you guys, we are here with Hank, with Benedict, and with Busiek. You guys have penetrated deep into Carcosa. And don't you
his face went into that song.
You guys have forayed into a place, into the center of all of this, slowly getting closer and closer to King in Yellow, whatever, whoever, whenever that is. The team, originally M-Cell, now only 2/3 of M-Cell with Busiek coming on board. You guys have come into Carcosa that you originally got here after a long running gunfight into the Hotel Broad Albin. A location, a place that you guys have heard about from the very first chapter that can only be accessed by being in a certain state of mind, by being on the run. You guys made it to Hotel Broad Albin. Through Hotel Broad Albin, you descended down into the labyrinth underneath, into the Whispering Labyrinth, where eventually you found J.C. Lentz's bottle, the author, this name that you have heard time and time again. Like, why is this important? What's with the bottles? And you know that everyone wants their bottles, right? You only had to feed one civilian into an unnatural killing vent. You only had to do that once, which I think was great. And I'm gonna just let you know, similar to putting a worm on a hook, you got more use out of that piece of bait than you should have, honestly. But so props to you. Right. So you guys went down to the Whispering Labyrinth. You ended up going through the labyrinth and coming into the city, the destroyed version of Carcosa. You then descended down through Lake Holly, encountered these weird creatures, eventually crash landing in one of the most heroic fucking things that could have happened, into the city of Carcosa, this war-torn city. You pushed through the city into the war zone, where you encountered just this constant, perpetual combat between soldiers from you know, what seemed like kind of similar to like the Soviet Union and the Germans, and there are like Turks, and then there are the soldiers of Carcosa, of the King in Yellow, all fighting. That's constant churn. You ran across prisoners, and you ran escaped prisoners. You ran across survivors living their lives in this place. And you push through into the silent city, this kind of central ring around the palace, which still looms above you guys, seemingly getting no closer, no farther away, but always there. You pushed up through no man's land, through the tractor factory, into the silent city. You found your way to the pier, this weird place that seems to just reek and be like nostalgia manifest. You go into the mall, another place that seems to be so familiar and so foreign at the same time. You encounter the Clockwork Child and the Clockwork Child's builder, Ambrose, who apparently is not only the prop master for the entire thing, maybe for the entire world as far as you guys can tell, but he also is the manufacturer of these mannequins, and maybe even of some other mechanical entities that you guys have run into. You kind of do some back and forth with Ambrose. Like, there's like, hey, this guy's basically making nuclear missiles over here. Like, you know, he's a bad dude, but he's not a bad dude because he's just doing his job, but he is still a bad dude. You guys find out that, I believe, in a really great instance, Benedict pushes a roll and then produces this picture of Michelle that he had squirreled away from her apartment as a real weirdo.
Creep.
And pulled out this picture and said, hey, I'll give you this. And Ambrose said, oh my god, I've been looking for that. And used it to complete his set of Michelle's apartment. And you guys realize that you guys have been inexplicably connected, that Busiak and the two of you have been connected this whole time without knowing it. You guys go to the orrery and are transported to this place called the Gallery of Shades. And Ambrose tells you everything here, all these different pieces, they are all, these belong to the king. They're of the king. They're not just his. They're of him. They belong here. And you guys have moved through this place, this strange gallery. You guys made it through an area where you got some costumes. Oh, keep in mind that Ambrose also gave you each a large mechanical masquerade mask. Benedict has a pigeon. Busiak has a Burmese mountain dog. And Hank has this big-headed, weird alien thing. And you guys moved through the gallery, and you each got costumes. I believe Hank got a nondescript street person costume, was what he chose, I think. Busiak ended up taking the long cloak that's very similar to the entity that killed Benji. And Busiak put this like long golden cloak on. And Benedict is, unless I'm mistaken, is wearing a North Korean general, like, military style. Like,
I forgot about
like,
that.
Like, that amount of ostentatious, like medals.
Got like, some, like, pinned to his shoes.
Yeah,
right. Like, clinking every time he takes a step.
He clinks.
I would,
that
I really
like
want to see. In Wills, welcome back. Yes, it's been a while. Benedict is wearing this, and I want you to imagine this. Imagine that North Korean general with the medals that go down the side and down the leg with a giant pigeon head.
it's the thing of nightmares.
Lifts his armpit and there's like medals. More.
We are the monsters now.
Yeah, you guys.
We're the nightmares
the monsters now.
You guys travel through the gallery, continually following Ambrose, who says he's taking you to the scribe. You have an invitation, but it doesn't have your name on it. And you got that from the Clockwork Child. And you're with Ambrose, and he's bringing you through, and he keeps... You know, and it's funny, Ambrose seems to have an idea that rooms aren't where they should, but it seems normal to him. You know, it's just the way things are. He takes you guys into this room, this huge square room. On all the walls and all the ceilings are plaques with names and birth and death dates.
All is this the gallery?
Each one of them connected.
Was this after the gallery?
This is still in the gallery.
Okay.
And each of them all connected to thousands of others. Why these long strands, which I believe Benedict determined are actually long strands of human hair, all tied together with tiny little knots.
Yep.
All between them. And there's this man floating around in the room. Like, seemingly pretty... He says he's very busy, but seemingly friendly enough. His name, and Ambrose calls him Hildred. He floats around and he tells you that he's trying to use this... He's putting together this little project of his to try to determine who the true king is. He wants to find out the true king's name. He also tells you that he's in line for the throne. So what he's really trying to do is prove himself to be the king. And that he will present himself when he has, you know, figured out the puzzle in totality. And with that, you guys left that awful room with all that human hair. And by the way, think about the smell. just think about the smell.
Well, it wasn't burning.
Don't have to.
So it's probably fine.
It wasn't burning, but it could still have a smell.
Fine.
You know?
It's just like beautiful conditioner. That's what I'm... Like aromatic, fragrances of lavender.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Ambrose says, okay, this way, we're going to take you guys to the scribe. And one of the things that had happened was that Busiek had... My darn dogs...
It's all good.
My bad. So Busiek had actually asked about Richard. Had said, "Where do you know a guy named Richard?" I think we came up with the last name Smith, which is very original of us. And you know, do you know who Richard is? And he goes, Hildred floats over to a wall and says, "Yes, I see Richard here." He has a birth date and no death date. So he must still be alive. Hmm. And you guys begin to move off through the gallery of shades. Again, this huge museum of all sorts of rare and weird art. You know, everything you guys have seen, origami and sculptures. You actually saw that bust of Michelle, you know, like back in one of the areas. You saw like this huge hallway of origami and then like graffiti art and stuff like that. And so here you guys are in the hallway about to follow Ambrose. But so before we do that though, I want to get a quick look into just each of these characters' minds on where they are. What about Benedict? Where is Benedict's head right now?
So this is right up his alley of, like, weird craftiness, art. He's an artist. He's a peruser of art, a purveyor of art, a portrayer of art, and other things with a P that I can't remember right now. So this is very much of interest to him, his fascination. Bear in mind, he also has a hot dog toaster under one arm. Preparing to...
Oh, that's right.
Provide. Yeah. Lest us not forget...
A housewarming gift.
A housewarming gift to the king. A hot dog warmer. And he's now surrounded by all this art. So he's kind of in a... He's got a very clear sense of going towards the king and providing this offering to get us through it. But he's also... He's almost got no willpower left. So the level of focus that he has on the one thing that he thinks he needs to do to get out of this alive... is pretty high. Everything else,
yeah,
is
he does. You do literally have zero willpower, right?
Two, thank you very much.
Oh, okay. You know, the weird thing is you should be unconscious right now.
Should be a little bit
fine.
yeah
he's not gonna think too hard about
it. Don't forget that each of you has this little side pot of sanity loss just sitting over there.
Yeah,
don't worry about it, guys.
Yeah, I don't want to see that coming up.
Jesus. I just looked at mine.
Yeah, it's big,
quite
isn't
a bit.
It? Yeah, mine will put me through the breaking point. But yeah, that's that
oh,
is
absolutely.
That's Benedict in a nutshell. Holding a toaster, looking at all the art, very, very intrigued, but somehow forging ahead.
Somehow forging ahead. Okay. Yeah, and I think that's all you can really do, honestly. You know, and it's all this weirdness. What about Busiak? Busiak, you actually just received something. Man, like, talk about, and I think you actually had mentioned it last time, it was like, talk about a breath of fresh air, talk about a burden coming off your shoulders. Richard is alive. According to this asshole, anyway. By the way, he's crazy. I think Ambrose had actually been like, you know.
Human like, hair weaving?
Ooh.
So, I mean, Busiak has been through a lot. Like, obviously, all right. of us have been through a lot. I think either he or me, I'm not sure where we separate on this, has been a little bit distracted with all the crazy shit from his actual goal of coming in to find Richard. And upon hearing this news, I think he's just got like a refreshed resolve.
Hmm.
Like,
you have the fan going.
He's actually. That's just my computer.
Oh, wow.
I think it's working that hard.
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's actually doing pretty good relatively. I'm a little bit close to a breaking point, but I think
worry about it.
Yeah, with this new God, that really threw me off. Is my computer that loud?
No, you're good. You're good. I think Brad can just hear it from the other room, but we can't hear it from the other continent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, and it's like, and you know, keep in mind, Busiak is hands down the most sane of all of you,
and the most heroic.
He came in later. And the most heroic.
Easily.
I think we can all agree. Did you see that eye roll?
The game.
Somebody make that a GIF.
The game's not over yet.
Just saying.
Benedict.
All right, what about Hank?
So I guess the last, you know, strong emotion Hank had was, you know, he's about to get in a fight with Ambrose or kill him or do something, somehow, you know, derive some kind of, trying to figure out, like, you know, either is he responsible for this or, you know, just like, why is all this going on? And he seemingly found someone who's could potentially be the cause of all this craziness / pain / or then I forgot what the conversation, basically I'm talked out of it, and, you know, I'm, mm-hmm. I'm like eased up. And I think going through, you know, Busiak's been kind of a new guy to the group, but actually going through these scenes and seeing that, you know, Busiak was actually somehow there at the very beginning, maybe, like, you know, Hank has a little bit more, feels like he's part of the crew now, maybe more so than what he did prior to that.
Right.
So that
actually makes Busiak fit better for Hank.
Yeah, I think so.
But that revelation, okay.
Yeah, that, you know, so there's probably more of like a bond as a group for Hank now, but I think more than anything, and then, you know, we see this guy that's floating around. I think his paranoia is repressed. I think there's almost like just like a numbness to him now. Like, he doesn't know, once he finds Michelle, if he finds Michelle, he doesn't know what he's going to do. Like, it's almost like, you know, you've just been reading this book and it's like, you just want to get to the end. You don't know if you really want to enjoy it. Like, he just wants to have some like conclusion to all this. Not this isn't Brad talking. This is like, you know,
okay, gotcha.
Hank as a character. Like, what is the ending to this? You know, type situation. That's okay. My whole spiel about, I think.
Yeah, and you know, and again, like, you guys are in this, like, you're in this dark. You know, again, it's like, it feels like a museum. You know, it's a little dark, you know, there might be just kind of like, you know, big windows that the outside there, it's like, if you were to look close, these big windows, like in these hallways, you might actually see that it appears in some places, there's like almost like rubble like piled up halfway up the windows or something like that. You know, it's like you get in this light streaming through. It just, there are electric lights, but they are dim at best in most places. In some places, it, like, the place is nice, but again, there's, it does have that feeling of just slightly falling in on itself, just like a lot of stuff that you guys have seen. But the closer you guys have come to the center, the closer you guys have come to the palace, the less that seems to be the case. You know, like, now that you're in the Silent City, things are cleaner. You can see the evidence of war, the evidence of, you know, debris and stuff like that, but it's all like been swept up onto corners and stuff like that. But here you guys are still here in the gallery, and Ambrose saying, "All right, let's go this way. A scribe should be right down here."
Can I look around before we go?
Sure, absolutely. If you if there is anything that you want to see or anything that you're looking for specifically, or
I think I want to get.
Are you just like taking a peek?
Well, he's literally clinking around in this suit and got the toaster under his arm. Still confident in it, but I think he is looking for something better, and he's wondering if he could present the king with something majestic to show him how much effort he's come through to just meet him, to prostrate himself at his feet.
Okay. Yeah, so this room that Ambrose is going down, he's walking down about like three kind of hallways down, three openings down. He's passing a bunch of these other ones without even looking at them. Roll me a sanity check. Roll me a sanity check for old Benedict. And this would be a good time to pull up. That's a fail. Okay. This would be a good time to go and pull up roll 20 if you don't have it pulled up. Okay. So, at your failure, you're walking down the hallway, and you look down to the left, and you see a long, again, like most of these are many, they're like long halls with these galleries with different kinds of art pieces and whatnot in them. But this one, you look down, and it is a long, long straight hallway with a beautiful, you know, beautiful carpet down the center, just running from the hall doorway all the way down, probably 50 feet. And you see right at the end, you see a small bust, you know, just chest up, no arms, sitting on a pedestal with a perfect spotlight down on it. And on the face of this bust is a mask. And it's very similar to that flat, calm, placid mask that you saw that this entity that killed Benji had, that you saw another version of in the costume room. But this one, there's something about it. It just calls to you, Benedict. And it's just sitting there at the end of this hallway, this whole huge hall just dedicated to this mask down at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like a perfect gift.
We have to go this way. This way. He's going to tell that to the group.
What are you doing?
We need to go this way. I need to pick this up. This is important. Busiak, you got to help me.
What do you need it for?
Look, I can give you all the reasons. We don't have the right invitation. We probably... Have you seen what I'm wearing? This is ridiculous. We don't have the right outfits. We've got hats. Okay, I'm bringing a hot dog toaster.
You worried about your wardrobe?
Yes, I absolutely am worried about my wardrobe. They say two things in England: manners maketh a man, and your wardrobe is what you wear. Now, I need you to come with me, and
Benedict, you look great.
I know, but I'm very insecure about meeting the king, and I feel like I need to bring him a gift, and that there is a gift. Gods.
I'll be right back.
Are you suggesting we try to get on this king's good side?
I think, have you seen, if you... Good God, Hank, what have we been through? Yes. This is someone without power. Boundless. I don't know where we are, but we could die wherever we are.
What do you think's gonna happen when we meet the Yellow King? Like, walk me through it.
Jesus.
What's your plan?
Buziak, last time we met somebody that was wearing that robe, they were wearing the exact thing that you're wearing right now, he disintegrated one of my closest friends. And we don't even know if that was the king. That was just something that wore that goddamn robe, which you're now pulling off so beautifully, and I'm a little jealous, but I'm also, it's like bittersweet, because it's a little murdery, but I'm dealing.
I was going to ask if you wanted me to take it off, but now you're giving me mixed signals.
I don't know. But
I look
what
good, though?
You look
but it's good.
Fantastic. And I need that mask.
Let's just let him get the mask.
He starts walking.
I don't really know what angle he's trying to get, but perhaps some kind of would be beneficial for us blending into whatever ceremony we are about to witness.
Fuck it, maybe he's right.
I love the idea of let's take the insane ramblings of Benedict and just assume that they're correct. I'm on board.
Especially convincing.
I think you guys are completely on track. Okay.
Not crazy to bring a monarch a gift.
True, you're right. It's not completely crazy. Okay, so
from his own collection of shit.
Yeah, it is worth noting. It's like, wait a second, I thought I left this in that long hallway at the end.
That's, I remember specifically, it was the only piece that had a spotlight on it.
Yeah, wait a second.
It was my most prized possession.
And now you brought it here to me, thanks, I
with
guess.
A toaster. You guys are missing a key piece with a toaster.
Oh, I thought you were going to do an Indiana Jones bit. You got to swap the toaster.
No, we need both, Hank. We need both.
You need both. Okay, so if that's the case, then. So you guys are going to follow him down. And as you go, you are going to... Benedict, I assume you're leading the way on this. All right. Yeah, so you continue down. And are the other two of you, like, I don't know, are you just following blindly down? Or, like, are we kind of, like,
Ambrose
around?
Is with us?
Well, I would say that, you know, Ambrose is probably, like, I
think that we should probably... I think we're down here. The scribe is down here.
Well, be right there. Just let's get this quickly, and then we'll join you.
I'm gonna go ahead in here and start doing maintenance.
But we clock where he's going.
You can see where he's going.
Fine.
And I'm sure the same door will be in the same place when you come to it later, as doors are wont to do.
Yeah. Perhaps Hank is not falling directly behind Benedict, but kind of like, you know, a parent waiting at the end of the aisle as the kid runs to get the candy type thing. And just like kind of sitting there with his arms crossed.
With his arms crossed, yeah.
Watching him go get this item and just waiting on him.
And just waiting for him to come back.
Yeah.
All right. You... And what about Busiak? Is Busiak...
Busiak is going to try to keep eyes on... what's his name that starts with an H?
Hildred. He's still back there in the room doing his thing.
I think we lost sight of him.
You could just be back in the hallway. Because it sounds like Hank is kind of standing in the hallway watching Benedict go down this room. And you could still be down a door or two watching Hildred, if you want.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what Hildred does. Hildred continues to float around. And again, he seems to be pulling this filament of... what you now know to be human hair, just out of a pocket, and it just keeps coming. Right? No matter where, how far he seems to go. And he hooks it from one nameplate all the way across the room to another, and he kind of mumbles to himself. He's like, or every now and then he'll be like, that's not right. He'll undo one. And then
in that case, we really need that bag of holding, so we're going to fight him.
if there's ever a time to fight someone, this is the time.
Is all this hair the same hair?
No. It's all different colors. You know, it's some of them are quite short, some of them are quite long. It's just a whole mishmash. But every single one of them is tied together with a perfect tiny, tiny little knot.
Disturbing.
Yes.
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 Yes, indeed. Okay. So, you, Benedict, you start going down this, you're going down this long hallway. Are you running? Are you skipping?
I'm intentionally walking at a
okay.
deliberate pace.
At a deliberate pace. Mm-hmm. Yes, deliberate. Dignified. As you jingle. Just like, ka-ching, 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 with all these medals as you go. You walk. And as you go, you hear, just at the edge of your hearing, hear what sounds like shuffling. Right?
You see anything?
And it sounds like shuffling. It's to both the left and the right. And as you turn, you see that from the ceiling down to the floor are these long, long black curtains that kind of cover the walls, right?
Do they look like the same black curtains that creature peeked through when we were with Benji?
No, that was like a red.
That was like a
stage curtain.
Okay.
These are like they seem decorative.
These are happy. These are fine. He keeps going.
These are fine. I'm sure there's nothing wrong with these ones.
Nah.
But as you turn, you see that they are moving slightly. But it's one of those things like, is it just a trick of the eye that it's moving slightly or not? Like, it's hard to tell.
Okay.
But the closer you get, the more of this shuffling you hear. You're about halfway through into the room now.
Okay.
And you could swear to God that you hear the sharp rap of like a dress shoe on hard floor.
I think this would freak him out.
The sound of like of walking in dress shoes, like of hard-soled shoes on like a hard floor.
Yeah. I think this would freak him out. And I think he would be changing his mind at this point. He really wants that mask.
Okay.
So he's gonna.
No, roll power check.
Oh, God, yeah.
The bust, right? Or is it a mask on a bust that you're trying to get?
It's a mask on a bust.
It's a mask on a bust. That's a critical success on a power roll.
Okay. You hesitate. Maybe you stop, and as you stop, you hear now that there are whispers coming from both sides of the room. And you can hear, and you can make out just barely someone say, in English, you can make out someone say, he's like, he's so close. He's so close, he's almost there. And you stop. And you can make the decision right now. You can do whatever you want. You can continue on, or you can turn back. But you feel now that you feel, and because you got a critical success, I'm going to tell you, you know that something is drawing you near. You now know this desire to walk in here is not your own. Something else.
Mm-hmm.
Ankle C. Kind of stutter in his step. Is everything all right, Benedict?
I'm not sure, Hank. He's gonna think for a moment.
You hear to your left. You hear, go, take the mask. Take the mask.
No. Shut up. Shut up! And he's going to be screaming, no, shut up! Shut up! And he's going to about face with like a perfect about face military turn. And he's going to rapidly start walking backwards.
Comically dignified
after freaking out, but very briskly walking away. No, 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 no. Every time they say, take it. It's like, no, no.
Hank, roll a sanity check.
clicked it. Oh, failure.
Hank, take one sandy damage, please.
In your in side the pile.
Oh, in this and the side pile. Okay.
In the pile, as is tradition.
Tradition and since when?
The curtains. Benedict doesn't see it because he turns around. But you do. You see the curtains all fall from the ceilings, and they very briefly pile into big piles in the bottom, but then they all stand up, and there are dozens upon dozens of human figures, each as it lifts its head up out of a dark cloak with a flat mask over the front of their faces. And they're not, and maybe one or two of them take a step toward Benedict, and you now hear their voices. No, no, come back, come back. And then the bust at the end of the hall also turns its head.
Toward
Benedict.
And he doesn't see any of this. He just keeps
Benedict
going.
Meatball. And then he'll like kind of he won't shoot, but he'll like raise his gun.
He starts running. He just starts running.
Like rack a shotgun or something.
Like sprinting.
Ching 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 ching. Benedict, Busiak, meatball.
Alright, we gotta get the fuck out of here.
Okay. You guys, if Busiak, you run by, and Busiak, you if you look down this hallway, you too see, but you don't see them all turn from curtains into people, so you're not gonna roll a sanity check. But you see there's a few dozen, like we're talking probably 30 to 50 people standing now, all shoulder to shoulder, but they're all, it seemed like, agitated, and you can hear from behind their masks, come back, come back.
Lucia closes the door.
All right.
As soon as Benedict comes out, we just like shut the door.
When I'm out to when I'm in.
Benedict in.
Which one?
Well, that's that.
Benedict, now, go ahead.
You close the door, and comically so. Like, you close a door, it's like, come back! No! One of us! Kind of thing. Oh. And it's silent.
We're leaving that door closed.
Oh, what? Why did you let me do that? What is wrong with you two? What the hell is wrong with you?
Why did you let me do that?
I suspect there's sort of an abusive dynamic going on right here.
Oh God.
Whatever. Let's just keep going.
Yeah. Let's stay close to.
Don't think too hard about it.
Ambrose from now on, Benedict. No more. Now we're not gonna play into this. Maybe that's what the king wants. We're not gonna play into his hand and get him presents and whatnot. This man is evil. This thing is evil.
You still got your hot dog roller, right?
I have it. You're right. You're right, Busiak. It's like a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. That's also what they used to say at my prep school. And it's right.
So I will... I just want to let you know, Jean, I'm not letting you get away with they say that a man's wardrobe is what he wears. I'm going to remember that. You're never living that one down, just so you know. It's very important for me to let you know.
Can he get a negative joke in?
What?
That was off the cuff, okay?
Okay, but yeah, so this is... Benedict, you don't know what was happening back there. But I'm going to tell you something else. As you guys are standing here, like before you get in this hallway, Benedict, you realize something. You have been finding yourself, like, and this is because you get that critical success. If you hadn't got this critical success, I would not give this. Okay?
Now they know, Joe.
Benedict, it's not just that mask that was calling to you.
I think it's everything.
Everything in this place. You get it. Like, you get it. You get this place. You get the wonder of the king and all the respect and honor that he deserves. You get it. Oh no, you get it. You realize that even as you look around, you very briefly even look to one of the windows, perhaps. and you find yourself wanting to look away, you couldn't imagine leaving this place.
All right, Benedict.
No. You know, Hank, when you have those moments in life where you really realize what you want to be when you grow up, and you think about it for a moment and it just gives you that insane clarity. I feel like I've had that. I feel like I've had that clarity, Hank. And I'm worried about it. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know if I want to go, Hank. I don't think there's anything waiting for us when we get back. I don't think Papua New Guinea's alive. I don't think my brother's alive. I don't think they exist anymore. What if we just stay, Hank? What if we just stay and serve the king?
Get your head together, Benedict. We're almost... Come on. One step at a time.
No, but I'm serious. I'm serious, Hank. Can I...
Damn it, man. Drop the toaster. He slaps the toaster out of your hand.
No, you asshole.
And he's like...
He just slapped your gift to the king.
What is wrong
the
with
last
you?
Last king.
Is it broken? And you be reasonable, Joe. Is it broken?
Roll luck roll.
Yes, that's what I was asking for. No! It's like there's a little piece of it that's
it,
like come off the
it
little
breaks.
The little hot dog little thing that holds up the hot dog and dispenses it. Hank, you fool!
It's broken.
It's broke. I can't use that now. Well, I hope he lets me stay. I really hope he lets me stay now that I don't have a gift.
And I will say, Benedict, as you're hearing yourself say this, like you're also you're aware that this is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware, but it also sounds to me kind of like you're just buying into it.
Look, Hank, I appreciate your concern. I don't appreciate your violence, but I know that we're in this, and you've looked after me so far, and I appreciate you. That's what I appreciate about you.
This place is messing with all our heads now. Just bring it together. You don't want to stay here.
Okay.
And even if Hank doesn't believe what he's saying, we're going to make it out of here. He'll say it anyway.
Okay.
Maybe you should let Mia Busiak lead the way for a couple of strides.
Yeah, maybe you should
hang back.
Tie a rope around me.
I'm not going to do that. But
it could be fun. I haven't had fun in a while, Hank. Nervous laughter from Brad.
What are you guys doing back there? What are you lagging?
Busiak, just keep an eye on him.
What the?
Keep an eye on him.
What the fuck happened to your toaster?
He broke it. He broke it, Busiak. But it's fine. It's okay. We'll find another one. It's okay. We'll find another one.
Look. All right, Hank, how about you take point? I'll take back, and we'll just sort of sandwich Benedict.
All
keep
right.
an eye on him, you know?
Yeah.
Keep an eye on him.
That does sound like fun.
Fun, right? That's fun.
It's fun. It's fun. We're all having a great time. You guys go down. You are, like, in the cinematic version of this, the camera lowers down to where the hot dog broken hot dog toaster is like right there in the foreground, and we're watching the three of you go down the hallway.
That's so good.
Like a dusty fog rolls
the
in.
Rollers are like still like rolling a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
Those springs.
You guys, and maybe right as you guys turn the corner to go into that room where Ambrose goes, like as the camera's sitting there, we see the door to that weird room.
No.
Just go. And start to open a little bit. You guys find yourself in a new gallery, a new section. Again, imagine like a museum. There's different displays of all kinds. This one is much different. These are not traditional art pieces, paintings or sculptures or anything like that. Everything in here is this mechanical, steampunky kind of feel to it, and some of it not. Some of it very, very modern stuff, you know. But you can hear, and everything's lit pretty well in here, you know, and there's like little plaques besides everything. And you can hear down a few rows, like you can hear the sound of like mechanical clicking and like sounds, and you hear Ambrose kind of like humming to himself. He's just like down here a little ways. But there is like all sorts of stuff in here. So you guys want to... I mean, you guys don't want to look around, do you? Like, you know, it's, I mean, who knows what you could find?
Hank will kind of walk up to Ambrose and see what he's tinkering with.
Okay. If Hank, if you're in the lead there, you guys start down, you head towards where he is. And a lot of the stuff you guys are walking past, you've never seen it before. Right? It's oddities, little mechanical things. At one point in time, though, you do kind of turn a corner and you can see Ambrose down at the end of this kind of row in this kind of like central display that has other displays kind of around it. But, you know, there's like room to walk around it, you know, like it's like cordoned off with like a velvet rope. And you can see that up on a pedestal, on a desk, on a very familiar looking desk, is a machine about the size of a toaster oven, maybe a little larger, with all of these long arms, each with like a stylus or even like a quill, you know, like, or a pencil or a marker or a Sharpie, like all like up. And you can see Ambrose's back, and he is under, kind of underneath this thing, and he has like a, what looks like some type of a, like, access panel off laid to the side, and he's like got his hands up in this thing kind of tinkering, and you can hear like the clicking. And as you guys see this, roll me a quick sanity check for Hank.
Failure.
Okay, you're not going to take any sanity damage, but you are quite frightened very suddenly.
Wow, what's the familiarity of the desk? Or
is that the same scribe?
It's not the desk
that we smashed. Is that the scribe that I smashed?
That. You smashed.
That was in our handler's apartment.
It is. It looks very similar. It does not look smashed. It does not look smashed. It looks to be whole. But that's not what surprises you, Hank. There's something off to your left, and you take a quick peek at it as you see something that looks like a combination of a small cherubic baby sized thing.
Oh god.
With a little arms and mechanical body. This is that same creature that you guys blew up in Ophelia Citrus House, and it's standing there with a knife in its hand.
Ankle still. Ankle it's like close up. Kill Bill, and just like kind of fall, and just kind of like, he won't shoot, but he'll fall completely on his back and be like, ah, and just like aim his gun at it.
Okay. Benedict, why don't you roll me a sanity check?
Success.
Come on. Benedict, you, as Hank falls and you see what Hank has started at, and you're also like, whoa.
Oh.
It's the cherub.
That thing. I thought we blew you up.
And Hank falls back and falls into another display, which immediately pops open and out as another machine, this one intimately familiar to Benedict.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. The lion.
A combination of a military grade hat rack, an umbrella, and a blender.
Jesus.
Are you asking for a TPK? Is this what you want?
This thing, but Hank, as you push yourself up, this thing kind of like pops out, but it doesn't activate. It seems like you just maybe jarred it. Mm-hmm. These things seem inert.
Holy shit, Ambrose.
Okay. Ambrose, are they safe?
What are you talking?
He turns. He's like, well, of course they're safe. They're not even on. you know, and he just continues tinkering, and he pulls a tool out of his belt and puts it up into the scribe and starts turning, and you see several of these little styluses, these little arms, and there's like probably about 8 of them, kind of start to twitch. You know,
okay. Hank so moves back like if he like he's getting out of the way of all this, like he's moving completely back, and now just kind of has this like gun at the ready, like at the rear of the group.
Busiak's like, Hildebrand, what the fuck is the point of that little baby robot with the knife? Why would anybody make that? What is the fucking functional purpose of that?
You hear Ambrose, I think is what you meant. Ambrose, he's like, at this point in time, he's now like kind of underneath, you know how like someone working on a car would be on their back, like reaching up? He's like underneath this thing. And he's just steadily working. He's like, that I didn't do that one. I provided the basic plans for that one. That one's not me.
Busiak, stay far back from this. The killing machines. Death and car.
Right, yeah, roger that.
Was that actually the lion that Blender had stand?
Yeah.
Yes,
100%. Okay. Yeah, Busiak, that thing, you see this? And he like pulls down his... His weird,
huge wound,
giant
on his neck.
It's like that thing that got me.
Should we be worried?
Just no, be they're ready. Not on.
Yes. Why are you tinkering with that thing, Ambrose?
Well, it's the damnedest thing. I definitely didn't leave it in this condition, but it's like the insides of this thing. It's like they've been all smashed. But it's nothing I can't fix.
Does it need to be fixed right now? I thought we were on our way elsewhere.
Nope, this is why we're here.
Is this the thing that's going to give us an invitation?
Yep, should be, and there.
You know, and he kind of like, and you hear inside this thing, you hear a click, and it's like a tick. Tick, 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 tick. As these, you know, the arms, which are all kind of like cattywampus, like all different angles, they all kind of like reset to a central position, each with a different stylus, each with a different writing instrument all together. He's like, there. And he kind of stands up. He's like, there we go. And he gives it a loving pat. He's like, all right. So where's that invitation you had? You know, like he's not even looking, he's just snapping. He's like, where's Hank, that invitation?
Hank would like shaking hands, like hands it to him over his shoulder.
Okay. You hand it to him over your shoulder, and as you do, you see that the scribe, one of these hands with a small pincher, reaches out and snatches a piece of paper off of a like a hopper. And it begins writing furiously. And you look down and you see that it says Agent Molasses hands invitation to Ambrose.
Jesus.
He's like,
completely creeped out.
Hank Ellis is unnerved.
Oh, wow.
Do we see this?
I imagine if you guys can all see it. And he's like, and he reaches, Ambrose reaches up and says, stop that! And like swats the machine, and
oh my god,
and pulls the paper off, and he feeds the invitation down into like a, you know, like a loading thing, like on a like the hopper on like a printer. He like feeds it down into there, and it starts to grind it down. It's like yes, it's like pulling it down through into the machine. And it very quickly reaches, and again, this little hand like reaches out and grabs a piece of paper and starts to draw rapidly. And it creates a perfect copy of this invitation. Except that the first one reads, Hank Ellis. And it falls out onto the ground as the paper falls through the air and lands on the ground. The second one, Benedict Farthington, falls to the ground. Busiak Bartok falls to the ground.
Hank takes a deep breath and...
Benjamin Potts
No!
And it falls to the ground. And it lands on top of the rest of yours.
You callous little mechanical monster.
We've told Lusiak about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Inc's like, Ambrose, what was that one? We don't need a fourth one.
He's like, it beats me. He picks it up and crumbles it up.
No!
And just throws it over his shoulder. He's like, I think
Busiak punches him in the jaw.
Do you?
No. Okay.
How many times can we punch this man?
He picks these up. He's like, well, gentlemen, I think this is where our work ends, our partnership. And he hands you the invitations.
But what? Hank still like startled just by these death machines around him. That thing, that scribe, it was reading my mind.
Another piece of paper is brought onto the writing surface. It's reading my mind. It writes out.
What the hell is that?
Hank, stop it. Just stop interacting with the artwork. That's what we've learned so far. And Benedict will like walk.
Benedict Farthington. That's what we learned so far.
Oh, shut up, you! And he's gonna walk over to where the piece of paper was crumpled up and pick it up gingerly and try and like fold it out, pat it out, and put it in his pocket.
Ambrose, what's the next step? Where do we go next?
Unless I'm mistaken, it sounds like it's about time for you guys to head to the palace. Got your costumes,
get there?
Your invitation.
Yeah.
Not far from here. You exit the main doors of the gallery here. You should be able to get there pretty. It's on the shore. Beautiful place. Right on the beach. It's a great place for the end.
Thanks for all your help, Ambrose, I guess.
Of course.
I can't say it's been a pleasure. Hank just like, mind whirling. Mind whirling. Maybe a small amount of hope that Benji's somehow still alive and printed out his invitation, I don't know.
It's wild.
I just want to get out of here. Yak.
The camera zooms in on the writing surface. Hank Ellis, now filled with a new sense of purpose and hope, proceeds to the palace with his team. And at that, we're going to call it.
Nice.
Well done.
It's a little exposition heavy, guys. But you know what? I can't judge. It worked well. No, I'm kidding. I'm fucking with you.
Benedict Farthington suddenly suffers an aneurysm. But not the kind that kills you, just the kind that makes you really stupid.
Is this still described?
I think it's Scribe Joe talking.
All right. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. In Wills, good to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks for
joining.
Someone
had said something here on the chat about the Delta Green system being somewhat boring and outdated. Everyone has their opinions. But did mention, I will say, a fall of Delta Green or Trail of Cthulhu, which are like other systems.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. We might take a look at it.
Maybe.
I have heard about those systems, and I have wondered about that.
Hmm. Look, we've been bored by this for over 2 years now.
You're entering dangerous aneurysm territory, my friend.
The internet can't aneurysm me.
Yeah. I did want to thank real quick some new patrons, which have been a long time coming. But we've been doing our stuff with Alex and the RPG Reanimator, so I wasn't able to get around to it. I want to thank Electric Manade, Mikhail, and Alex. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you
over on Patreon. You guys help.
An electric
for us to host and whatnot.
Electric Monad. It's a data structure.
Monad?
I believe so. I got you, Mr. Gross. Monad.
Nerd.
Mr. Monad.
No nerds in our TTRPG stream. That's the rule. All right. everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. If you are joining us live, stay tuned. We are going to be right back. We're going to take a break. In Wills, I am going to try to fix our setup. I did
the
see
names are mixed around or something.
Yeah, the names are all fucked up. But thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thanks, Joe.
And remember,
thank you.
As always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Bye.